T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One is a football guy obsessed with the Pats and their QB.
Brady can play till he's 50. Changed my mind.
The other, a basketball guy who truly bleeds green.
But goddamn, the one thing that I love to do is sit down and watch the Boston Celtics at the end of the day.
Together, they make for a perfectly imperfect pair of Boston sports superfans.
Did we just become best friends? Yep.
It's the Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I have some brief remarks. I'm really sorry.
This didn't impact the game. I didn't say it didn't impact the game. It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
So then what are you guys apologizing for?
That's why we feel bad. It was wrong.
I think they're the favorite in the clubhouse beyond New England. It's the Tennessee Titans.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up.
Final hour here. The Oddballs. It's Fitzy. It's Gilroy. The number to join us here today is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops. You find Fitzy at FitzyGFY. Again, we opened the show here today sort of talking about the Red Sox and where they're at, as Fitzy is just back from spring training. He was down there for the start of everything, pitchers and catchers. And yeah, this was going to be a different type of spring training for the Red Sox. There's no doubt about that. They got an interim manager. They got the cloud of this potential cheating scandal sort of still hanging over their heads until Major League Baseball finally releases whatever this report is. And the rumors and the rumblings are relatively good news for the Red Sox. It seems like they're going to be pretty much exonerated in this whole thing. But it's been you have the big Mookie trade, David Price out the door. There's been a different type of offseason for the Red Sox. So we talked about that. We talked about Kevin Garnett and officially having his number retired at some point next season. The Celtics with the big hype video a year in advance, which is
a year in advance.
I just don't get that. Like,
you're so like, focus on this team right now. Why are we letting people know a year from now Kevin Garnett's number is going to be retired? Who makes that decision? Why make that decision now?
I have a theory, and my theory goes like this. So today, Kevin Garnett was officially named a finalist for this year's Hall of Fame class. Clearly, mm-hmm. he's going to be a first, you know, he's going to be inducted this year, okay? But he's a finalist, so they go through the pomp and circumstance of that. So my theory here is the Celtics knew that was coming, and the next likely step would potentially be Minnesota retiring his number, and they wanted to beat Minnesota to the punch.
Wow.
I think that's what it was.
Stole their thunder.
I really believe that's what it was. I believe this. It's the only thing that makes sense. You know, you could say it's because Doc was in town, but so what? You can always find a Celtic that is either willing to come to town or is in town for something. Kevin McHale does a bunch of games for TNT, and when he wasn't working, you could have brought him in town for something like this. When they first played the video, I thought that they were going to pan over and they were going to show KG in the audience. I thought maybe he was there doing something for TNT. The only thing that would have made sense is if Kevin was in the building, but he wasn't in the building.
No, and they just decide to arbitrate. It struck me as just not arbitrary, but just random. I was surprised. Wait, they're retiring his number? Why'd they announce that he wasn't there? All right.
And they're not doing it this year. Like, if they had announced that they're doing it in April or game one of whatever the playoffs.
Or like May 5th, because that's the fifth day of the fifth month or something like that.
Something like that. But yeah. It says coming in 2021. Like,
All right. Let me just go ahead and put a Google alert on that one.
Put it in the calendar. But I think I really do believe that the next logical step after Kevin was sort of named a finalist or he goes into the Hall of Fame this year was that Minnesota would say, okay, we're going to retire Garnett's number. And they probably will still do it at some point. I'm sure they will at some point. But this was the Celtics' best opportunity to beat the Timberwolves to the punch. It's the only thing that makes sense. So we talked about KG and his number going up to the rafters. I'm all for it. Fitzy, not so much. And, of course, the Tom Brady story that just will not end. Is Tom coming back? Is
he signing
elsewhere?
It'll end. It's just not ready to end yet.
It's not ready to end just yet. And, of course, with the reports coming out today that it looks like the Vegas Raiders
are
all over this. They want Tom in the silver and black. They want him to go, talk about your career going full circle. I mean, think about.
Maybe Brady appreciates good drama and symmetry.
There is good symmetry there. I mean, with the whole Gruden connection, there's absolutely good symmetry there. But again, the thought of Tom in another uniform is just, it's a tough one. It's a tough pill to swallow.
And if he goes to, let's just have fun with it, because why the hell not, right? It's February 15th, All-Star Weekend. We're a month away from getting anything resembling some inside information or a juicy enough story, a contract offer, the tour. So let's say Brady says, you know what? I'm going to go to the Raiders. Okay. So now he's going to play against Patrick Mahomes twice a year. Could help out the Pats.
Yeah, it could.
Now he comes back to Foxborough. In a Raiders uniform.
Imagine that.
You tell me a higher rated regular season NFL game than Tom Brady with John Gruden, scene of the snowball crime, coming up against the Patriots now. Belichick versus Brady. I mean
the drama.
The NFL would be faint. The NFL would need nitro pills. The NFL, all the blood would rush to their blank. They would be so excited about this.
You know, we heard Mike Giardi talking earlier in the program about how there's this belief around the league that Brady still has the tools and that Brady still has the arm, but he's been battling various injuries over the last couple of years that have sort of hampered his ability to be the Tom Brady that he used to be. And again, your sort of retort to that was, and as you get older, those things are going to happen more frequently, not less frequently.
Correct.
So let me ask you this, Fitzy. Does Tom have to consider this when considering the possibility of leaving the Patriots? And I mean this in the nicest possible way.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say he goes to the Raiders, and the Raiders give him two at 60. It's a lot of money. Yep. They're dedicating $30 million a year of their cap space to a 43-year-old quarterback. That takes balls to do that.
And then Belichick goes out and brings in all the weapons that he would have brought in for Brady with all that money.
But let's say that Brady just sucks. Let's say that he goes out next year and he's just not that good because he's continuing. Let's say he's not that good.
Okay.
Let's say the Raiders finish with the same record next year that they finished with Carr the year before. Okay. If he stays with the Patriots and he struggles because of age and injury, but he still has Belichick here, nobody is saying that Brady couldn't do it without Belichick. They're saying that Brady couldn't do it anymore because he simply couldn't make it to 45. He was 43. He almost made it, mm-hmm. but he just couldn't do it. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's no shame in that. But if Brady at 43 takes a chance and goes elsewhere and sucks because of age, the perception is not going to be he's sucking because of age. It's going to be he is sucking because he couldn't do it without Belichick.
And there will be some Brady apologists who will say, Gruden didn't get him the weapons. Gruden didn't provide the supporting cast that he promised him. They had all that money. They mismanaged it. It can never be Tom's fault. There's a large percentage of Pats fans, football fans in general, who believe that nothing can ever be Brady's fault. Have you listened to the morning show or have you read websites, taken a look on Twitter? Whenever Brady even throws an interception, anytime I've ever had offered any opinion online about disappointment or frustration over a Brady interception, people come at you as if you threaten to break into their house, you know, have sex with their spouse, steal all their money, and then accuse them of tax fraud via their Wi-Fi network. It's just insane. Like, oh, sorry, the six Super Bowls weren't enough. Like, we're not talking about the six Super Bowls. We're talking about that particular pass. He threw a bad pass. He made a mistake.
It's just,
you can't, like, it's like he can do no wrong. And even if you are a super fan, even if you, I don't know, maybe didn't name a child after him. And even if you've, you know, oddly enough, dedicated a strange, in almost disproportionately bizarre portion of your career after talking about and joking around about the guy, to even be mildly critical is seen as unforgivable.
Look, I get it. I truly get it. But I keep thinking back to to Michael Jordan with the Wizards. And again, you know, he put up 20 points a game for two seasons, but he also missed a bunch of time having to get his knees drained. And when you look back on those
He was bulky and it just wasn't the same. He was like this bulky jump shooter.
When you go back and you look at the talent that he had with him, he had Rip Hamilton, he had Jerry Stackhouse. He had some pretty good talent around Tyronn Lue. There was some pretty good talent around him. And at the time, the Eastern Conference was a train wreck. He didn't get to the playoffs as an 8 seed, not one time. He was two straight lottery years and done for him. I just don't want to see Tom go out like that.
All right, Tom won't go out. This will not be the Jordan on the Wizards portion of his career. He'll go out better than that. He'll improve the number of wins on any team he goes to from 2 to 4, for sure.
So he doesn't need Belichick in your mind?
To win?
Yeah,
no,
to win.
To win a Super Bowl? That's why they're so great together.
I guess.
Who else is... All right, to continue the exercise from last hour, if he's going to take the KD LeBron route, who else does he need? Who else would he want? What else is there for him to go to the best team? Okay, let's just look at quick combinations, okay? Indianapolis, good offensive line, crap ton of salary cap, not exactly loaded with weapons right now. T.Y. Hilton can barely stay on the field or, you know, out of the tub.
Yep.
Good coach, not one he's familiar with, but one that helped to orchestrate a shocking Super Bowl defeat of him. Okay, maybe. And I could see Jim Irsay, who's crazy enough to hand out $100 bills to fans at training camp, saying, oh, this would be a great toy. I would love to take him from Belichick. I had Peyton. I had Luck. I would love to have Tom Brady.
He would love to have some OxyContin as well. So
sure. So I'd give Indy a maybe. Talked about the Chargers. Okay, new stadium. TB12 goes Hollywood. A lot of money.
Yep.
Celebrity, fame, fortune, Hollywood, bright lights.
Does it matter that he's a renter in his own stadium, though?
Good weapons. They will take all the attention away. They would take all the attention away from the Rams going into SoFi Stadium and that bizarre horseshoe alien, whatever the hell that thing is out there. So I'd give them a little bit more of a chance because they need him desperately to open that stadium, because otherwise God knows why anybody would go watch the quarterbackless San Angeles or Los San Diego Chargers play. Now then I get into the teams that I think legitimately have a shot.
Yep.
Tampa and Tennessee. TNT. I would love a TNT right now. More to the point. Tampa, good coach, decent defense, okay offensive line, weapons galore, team they could spend. Here's Joe Tooney. You know what? We'll go out and we'll get we'll tell you what we're gonna do. We're gonna get you Joe Tooney, Jadeveon Clowney.
Sure.
We're going to draft nothing but defense. And, we have two of the six best wide receivers in football. Oh, and we resigned Perriman. Oh, and O.J. Howard, you're going to figure out how to turn him into Gronk 2.0. And we literally may outscore everybody all year.
Yeah.
Because we're just going to keep your elbow warm. It's nice down here all the time.
It's going to be tempting.
And maybe, just maybe, Tom, you could be the first quarterback to ever play in your home stadium in the Super Bowl. Sorry about the ugly helmets, but damn, that's enticing. And then Tennessee. Here's A.J. Brown, 1,000-plus yards, rookie receiver. Here's Jonnu Smith, great tight end on the rise. Here's the biggest badass running back in football. And oh, by the way, you're best friends with the coach, and he gets you. And we have a solid defense. And you have a bunch of buddies that used to play up there. You're literally going to make it Foxborough South. Let's go.
Is there a stick at the Belichick mentality? If he goes to Tennessee, is there a lot
of people that believe he would go there and just be like, you know what, Tom, you've done everything you can do up there. It's not going to be that. Like, you've done the duck boats. You've won. Mr. Kraft will love you forever. They'll love you forever. Let's have some fun.
Let's take Bill on.
Let's take Bill on in a friendly game of we think we can do what you do and we can do it better.
And that'll be, I mean, not for nothing. That's something that I think could get Brady's juices flowing. I think something like that could get
Pats come in as a wild card, right, next year. Somehow Belichick's his way to 10-6. Titans go 11-5. Titans get like a 4 seed. Pats get the 5. And then wild card weekend next year, the number 5 Patriots visit the 4 seed Titans.
It's a great fantasy
fit. Rematch!
But I hate to say it. Without Tom Brady here, they're going 7-9 if they're lucky. I have a problem with the mentality of Patriots fans, and I talk to them on this show, I talk to them on the night show all the time, and there is this overwhelming sense of confidence coming from Patriots fans about this team's ability
Delusion,
to stay
arrogance.
Pretty good, to stay good enough, to stay a playoff contender, after you lose Tom Brady. And I'm sorry, you're not going to – we saw what happened this year. You lost the best tight end on the planet, and your offense took a significant dive. And when you lose that guy, you had that kind of effect. What happens when you lose the greatest football player of all time? You don't maintain your ability to be a consistent playoff team.
Nope.
You don't. It's not going to happen. So people that are asking for the soft landing, oh, we're not going to be, you know, 12-4, 13-3. We'll be 9-7, 10-6. You know, that's not happening.
And they also have a brutal schedule next year.
They do. They do.
That's a legitimate first place schedule that they play next year. They're going to need that defense to be everything it was the first half of the season and that extended preseason, and maybe even more so. And they're going to need a more efficient and at times explosive offense. Does that come from the strong arm second year kid and a load of weapons, or does that come from a strategically realigned Brady with a couple weapons and the same defense?
It is Sports Radio, WEEI. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. Let's go back out to the phones. Let's go to Sorja. Sorja's in Mansfield. Sorja, you next up here on WEEI.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Sorja?
First, just want to say, Fitzy, enjoy you on the Greg Hill Show. Gilroy, listen to you all the time. Yeah, absolutely. I've been a Patriots fan for a long time, been a Brady fan, obviously, for a long time. And the age-old problem that I keep going back to is, it's almost like this conundrum where you pay Brady, right, if you're the Patriots, but then you don't have the cap space to give him any weapons. And then if you don't pay Brady, you have some cap space, but, I mean, it's kind of tougher, again, to ask Tom Brady to ask a pay cut. So, I mean, for me, I wouldn't want Tom Brady to leave, of course, but I just have no idea how these guys are going to make things work. And just one more thing I wanted to discuss is, I think we're obviously wrapped up in the whole Tom Brady scenario, but I think one of the things we don't talk about enough, and one thing we really need to address this offseason, is our run defense. I mean, there were a lot of games last year where people were just running like it was nobody's business. So as much as we need to look at the offense this season, that's one of the key needs we definitely need to address.
Couldn't agree with you more. The Patriots got gashed a number of times. Look, they gave up a buck 80-something to Derrick Henry and couldn't bring him down when they needed to time and again in a game that, forget about the last-second pick six to Logan Ryan. That was a 14-13 game, and that's what made that game so unbelievably, insufferably painful. Just losing in the wild card round. Go back to the week before, though. Miami was running all over them with a guy I've never heard of who may never play a pro game again, and the corners fell asleep.
Yeah.
They didn't even show up. They showed up with a bad attitude and a piss-poor effort in a game that, I hate to say it, they needed to win.
The Miami game was where they lost their season.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about this. I mean, the Tennessee game.
For sure. 100%.
You and I were there doing this show, pregame, essentially, and the energy level was non-existent. People just weren't into it.
Nope.
Because after that loss to Miami, it was hard to get yourself up to the point where you could believe legitimately that the Patriots had the ability to turn it on and be the Patriots again.
Text line, someone in the 339 says, Tom Brady's replacement, Andrew Luck.
That's a
if only.
Yeah, it is Sports Radio.
His dad said he's in no rush and he's not really missing football. His dad, of course, is the commissioner of the XFL. He's in no rush to get back on the field and isn't really missing football. Maybe he just enjoyed his time, and that's that. I mean, does he strike you as one of those guys who's got an itch that needs to be scratched so badly that he would want to come back? I mean, if he was healthy, he'd be incredible in Foxborough, but it doesn't seem likely.
I'm sure his father asked him to headline the XFL many times, and if he couldn't get it to come back for his dad, he's not coming back.
Dad, I really don't want to do it because my calf has been so bad for so long, and I just, you know, this will give me a chance to concentrate on building things and my neck beard.
Sports Radio WEI. His name is Fitzy. My name is Gilroy. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
And then game three, we scored 5 runs. 3 came with guys on second base, which catchers use multiple signs. And as many people have expressed out there, you know, a lot of mound visits, changing the signs over and over. That's why MLB implanted the rule of mound visits, because of the 2017 World Series took so long. They will change all the time. So it was a double by Marwin. First and second, both scored. There was a hit by McCann, man on second, multiple signs, he scored. There was a chopper to the pitcher by Evan Gaddis with Reddick at first. Threw the ball away, Reddick scored from first. And the homer by Julie, solo homer by Julie. So 4 runs, 3 of them with guys on second base, 1 of them by just bad defense. So don't tell me that we cheated you out of a World Series when...
This cheating scandal just continues to evolve. And the next step here is we're going to learn this week if the Red Sox did anything dirty on their side. And look, you know, Fitzy was down in Florida with the Greg Hill Show all morning and all week. And he came back essentially more confident than ever that the Red Sox are going to be essentially exonerated when Major League Baseball releases their findings this week. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI. It's Fitzy, it's Gilroy, it is the Oddballs. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. You find Fitzy at Fitzy, GFY. And again, you know, we've talked quite a bit of Celtic stuff today with it being NBA All-Star Weekend, Kevin Garnett getting his number retired, that official announcement coming a couple nights back at the Garden. A very well done, an incredible video tribute. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me to do it at that time, a year in advance. I mean, the video was so well done. Every time they do anything Kevin Garnett related, it sort of gets your juices flowing if you're a Celtics fan. The hair stands up you know, straight on the arm, straight on the legs, back of the neck, because it brings back so many emotional memories, right? And Kevin has got that effect on people wherever he goes. So I thought KG was going to be in the building, and lo and behold, Kevin was not in the building. It didn't make a lot of sense. Again, my theory here is that the Celtics simply felt like they had to beat the Timberwolves to the punch and be the first one to announce out of his two teams that he was going to have his number retired. So we talked about that as well as the Major League Baseball cheating scandal. That's, again, Fitzy took a lot of offense to it. He thinks it's ripping the heart and soul out of the game. I don't think that it's really that big of a deal. And I hate to put it that way. I really do. But I feel like we're super naive if we're going to sit here and make pretend that teams haven't been looking for a competitive advantage, a competitive edge for years and years and years and years and years. The difference is the Astros went over the top. The Astros used too much technology. They really, they put together a cheating system rather than just putting together a way in which you can potentially gain an advantage by stealing some signs. And signs have been stolen forever. That's why signs are there to begin with, okay? Because they're supposed to be a code so the other team can't figure out what you're doing, right? So this has been going on for as long as baseball has been being played. And again, the Red Sox and Yankees, they were guilty a couple of years ago using the Apple Watches, using some technology to get a competitive advantage. That's never going to change. And I just feel like it's very hard in all professional sports to sit there on your high horse and pretend like your team doesn't do something. Because every team, whether it's the Falcons got busted pumping in fake sound, you know, to disrupt and disorient the opposition, to what the Patriots did, to the Colts. I mean, everybody does something to what Red Auerbach used to do at the Old Garden, and essentially turning the visitors' locker room into a sauna, over 100 degrees in there, no air conditioning, made sure that the water was frigid cold when it was time to take a shower. He did all those things. You combine that with all the dead spots on the floor, and the Celtics had a clear advantage over their competition. Is that cheating or is that gamesmanship? So again, it's that fine line that you walk. And like I said earlier, if you continue to push that line, eventually a team is going to go too far. And that's exactly what the Astros did. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, all that and more on the table for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's go back out to the phones. Let's go to Pat. Pat's in New Hampshire. Pat, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, how you doing? I just like been listening to you guys. I got a bunch of stuff. You brought up the sign stealing. I think way back, I didn't suspect Mortiz and about doing that when he was getting hot all of a sudden back, 10 years or whatever it was before he, after doing, he's doing steroids. I bet you, well, who knows what happened with him. I bet he was into that. But anyway, so I'm going to mention, somebody mentioned Bledsoe and the other one all ago. And I was just thinking way back, he was a key man. He's the one that, brought Brady wasn't that great way back. And, when he, everybody else seemed to come through, like Bledsoe came off the bench and won a game for him, one of those playoff games. Remember that at all, you guys?
I do. I mean, that was over Pittsburgh. Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, yeah. That would have, that got Brady up. It was good for his career. Later on, Bledsoe, a bunch of guys all contribute to his, and his longevity is a big deal. So, mentioned that in Parcells, too. He's another guy that made it, built that team up and made it strong so Belichick could move in and all that. So, and back to Garnett, I wasn't a big Celtics. I like Collins and those guys way back then, but Garnett played, that team that he played on was the biggest, most expensive team they ever bought with Ray Allen, him, and all. They should have lost the playoffs, I think, and back in 08. I think LeBron sat back and watched Pierce play like he was his sister, the most overrated basketball player, and besides Wilkins, Pierce was. So that's another thing. I can go on and on. I just sports stuff is just I guess giving up watching it myself. So it's I watch it since Cozy and Russell and all those guys are around, but that's about it for me. I think I just wanted to bring that up. I thought Bledsoe was all the guys, Vinatieri and Bledsoe and Brewski and all those guys carried that team for the first half of Brady's career, and then he got the offense going with Gronkowski and all that. So and I was rooting for San Francisco too because Welker's out there. I was hoping they'd win just to show him, but I guess they didn't. I think you mentioned simply the NFL didn't want Frisco to win anyway. That's just like the Celtics when they got in 08. They made sure they could get a championship. But it's about it, I guess. I can ramble on and on. I don't know. I just was going to wonder about, bring a few things up like that. I don't know if you're interested, but I'm not a big Bledsoe fan. I mean, not a big Brady fan.
Pat, good stuff, man. I appreciate the phone call. That is what you call stream of consciousness right there. He said a few things. Look, the Celtics earned their OA championship, and the difference between the Celtics and other super teams, by the way, and I don't want to get into this, is they didn't buy their super team. They had Paul Pierce here. They drafted Paul Pierce. They cultivated Paul Pierce, and then they used the other assets that they had drafted and then built up, whether it was Al Jefferson, Ryan Gomes, Ryan Gomes was a second-round draft pick that they turned into a serviceable NBA player with value. Al Jefferson at the time was one of the best, if not the most talented young post player in the NBA. And he was putting up big numbers for a Celtics team here that wasn't winning a lot of games. But they were able to cash in those chips and use their valuable assets that Danny Ainge had accumulated to flip them for Ray Allen, to flip them for Paul Pierce. I mean, Ray Allen, he was flipped for the number 5 pick in the draft. It turned out to be Jeff Green. But the point being is they flipped assets for other assets. They didn't go out and buy their championship and buy free agents the way that other teams did while they were assembling super teams. And I don't think LeBron sat back and watched Paul Pierce. And did I hear him say that Paul Pierce was one of the most overrated players?
Most overrated basketball player, besides Wilkins, Pierce was, so...
Strongly disagree with that as well. Look, Paul Pierce, I think, is one of the more underrated players in NBA history. I think that Paul Pierce doesn't get talked about with the right company. Let's put it that way.
Sports stuff is just...
But I do appreciate the phone call, Pat. It is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys here today at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. I do want to sort of get this in as well. So, we did talk a lot about the whole Kevin Garnett situation And look, he deserves it. Whether you believe that he should have his number retired or not is irrelevant to me. To me, I think he's earned it. I think he deserves it. And I think that the type of impact that he's had here, right, not just the impact in his 6 years here as an active member of the Boston Celtics, but the lasting impact that continues to this team today. Now, Doc Rivers, we played it earlier in the program, in his post-game press conference, he made it very clear. He said that when Kevin Garnett got to Boston, they needed somebody to come in and fix the culture. Let's not forget, Doc had been here for a handful of years, and it wasn't going well. They had tried multiple people, multiple teams, multiple ways to fix the culture, and they couldn't figure it out. They get Kevin Garnett here, and in an instant, the culture was changed. It was fixed. All the problems went away culture-wise. And that culture that Kevin Garnett brought here, that culture, that demand of excellence that he demanded from each and every one of his teammates, that still is here today. So the culture that this particular edition of the Celtics have is reminiscent of the Kevin Garnett culture because it's the same culture. Kevin brought it and it never left. So Kevin Garnett's lasting impact and legacy is still tangible today. That, to me, is something that really, really matters. And that, to me, plays a large part in the reasoning behind putting his number up there in the rafters. Because while he may have only played 6 years here, and he's been gone for another six, that's a 12-year impact. An impact on winning, an impact on culture, and an impact on what basketball still means in this city. And that's a big deal. But as the Celtics are now at the All-Star break, and we'll get to this after the break as well, but they're now at the All-Star break, I look at them, and I feel like this team has got an opportunity. They've got an opportunity to potentially reach an NBA final. It's a long shot, but I don't give them no chance against the Bucks. I feel like this team should make it to the conference final. They should make it to the Eastern Conference final. If they get there, that'll be mission accomplished, job well done. But if they do get there, I don't think they're getting blown out like they did last year against the Bucks. This team has got too much fight and too much talent in them. But I'm wondering from Celtics fans, because we talked to you guys much, much earlier on in the season, there was an air of negativity around this team. Ordway was leading the charge back then, and now he's come off that a little bit. You know, bravo. I heard Fourier and I heard Maloney trying to, you know, get Ordway to come off the cute little team, and he won't completely come off of it yet. But you could tell he's sitting that fence. He's riding that fence with the best of them because he knows that this team is starting to show signs that they are for real. They have beaten some of the top contenders in the NBA. They are 8-4 this season against the top four teams in the East and Western conferences combined. So this team is a team that I feel like is for real. And at 38-16, when you think about their over-under was 49.5 wins for the season. So it looks like they're going to go way over on that. Does Brad Stevens deserve some sort of consideration for Coach of the Year if this keeps up? They're on a trajectory right now to win 57-58 games, which is just unbelievable considering they lost Kyrie Irving and Al Horford. And it seems like they've done that and they've gotten better. So I just wonder if Celtics fans are happy with what we've seen from this team so far, or there's still too many questions to allow yourselves the ability to sort of go all in and get emotionally attached to this Boston Celtics team. So we'll get to that when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.
Now back to The Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
Final segment here, Oddballs, Fitzy and Gilroy. Number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. Why don't we just grab this last call here before we get out of here? Let's go to John. John's in Hampton. John, you're next up here on WEEI.
Hey, how you doing?
Thanks for having me. No problem, Johnny.
So we were on the Celtics topic and, you know, whether they fought or, you know, developed their championship and whatnot. But I'm sorry, but the NBA is set up in a way that you don't really develop a champion. You buy your championships with the NBA. The league's kind of rigged at this point. We all know it. We don't like to talk about it, but we all know it when somebody takes 30 free throws a game and they score 50 points and then we don't want to talk how they score 50 points. It's like, come on.
Well, John, that's a different discussion. And I'll discuss this with you, but I feel like, look at the Miami Heat, right? Miami overpaid. They got LeBron. They got Chris Bosh as free agents to join up with Dwayne Wade. That, I think, is buying your players. But you can't deny what the Celtics did. They drafted well, and then they traded their young chips for guys that came and joined Paul Pierce. I think that's different than signing free agents.
but they brought in other pieces. It wasn't like they developed them here. What we've got now is we've got a bunch of kids that we've developed, and we all love, and we all love to watch because they play hard. They play their hearts off. And if they could win, we would love them that much more. We love them because they play hard for us, and we love to watch them play. If they could go and do something, that'd be great, but the NBA would never allow it. You know, we'd have to make a trade to get some big name that'll sell lots of shoes and jerseys, which is, it's a shame. But, you know, we got Garnett, and we got Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce was a turnover machine. He's a great guy. We love who he is as a person, but he was a turnover machine. He could score points, but he would turn the ball over way too much for a shooting guard. You know, I mean, he was turning the ball over as much as most point guards in the league every season he played.
Well, they put the ball in his hands. They put the ball in his hands, John, too much. You know, he had the ball in his hands too much because the team wasn't very good, so he always had the ball in his hands, so he turned the ball over a lot. And if you look at the turnover numbers for some of these elite scorers in the league, like look at Harden. Turnovers. The ball's in his hands way too much, so he turns the ball over. So once they got Rondo, that fixed that problem. They drafted Rondo, and Rondo turned out to be the right guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm one of those old school types. I feel like Paul Pierce had a hand in his face for way too many of his shots. He didn't take the open shot. He took the shot every time. He always took the awkward shot, and he always made the awkward shot with the hand in his face. It'd always be like, no, 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 oh, good shot.
Yeah.
You know, he never took that open shot where it was like, ah, yeah, he's going to sink that nice wide open shot. It was never like that with Pierce. I always used to call in and complain about his turnovers, and everyone would yell at me, and they couldn't wait to hang up on me. But I used to hate on him. I used to say, keep Antoine Walker over Pierce. I used to say that. But I know he was a great player, and he's a great guy, obviously. He was a great team player, and he was great for the city of Boston and everything. But we, without Garnett, without buying all, or bringing in all these other stars, it never would have happened. And in the NBA, you have to buy your championship. I don't know. I guess the Golden State Warriors are the only example of a team that drafted this amazing chemistry, and no matter what the refs did, they were going to win. And then they went and got Kevin Durant and ruined all that and bought a few more championships. So it was... You know, they had it without Durant. They didn't need him.
They didn't need him, but it certainly didn't hurt either. Listen, I appreciate the phone call, and I'm just going to say I disagree. There's a difference between bringing in free agents and drafting well and using those draft picks that you used and then cultivated and turned into legitimate NBA prospects and players. And that's what the Celtics did. Again, they had the number 5 pick in the draft, all right? That was one of their assets. They flipped it for an aging Ray Allen. Ray Allen was not very good when the Celtics got him. He wasn't. He's coming off 2 years that were hampered with significant injuries, including a double ankle surgery. Now, he got healthy when he got here, thankfully, and he was very, very good for a few years here. Outstanding play from Ray. But that was a risk that Danny Ainge took. And then KG, I'm not going to go through the entire trade, but the two mainstays in the trade were Al Jefferson, Ryan Gomes, and there was a bag of balls and a dozen draft picks that went along with it. But you developed those two guys. You turned Al Jefferson into a legitimate low post stud and Ryan Gomes into a rotational NBA player. So you didn't buy those championships. You simply traded your assets for great players. Well, this was fun. You know, this four-hour affair, Fitzy and Gilroy, the oddballs here. I'm going to go to Vegas now. So I'm going to hop on a plane, go to Vegas. I'll see you guys next Friday for late night. Stay tuned. You got Brian Barrett. He's going to be with you guys until 8 o'clock tonight. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. It's Brian Barrett. He's up next right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.